Congregation, this morning we're going to have God's Word before us and have our hearts and our minds feasting on the Scriptures and to be well cared for by our God in this administration of the primary means of grace. And so this morning to Psalm 46. Now we're going to read this entire psalm, but this morning we're going to pay particular attention to verses 1 through 7, Psalm 46, 1 through 7, and then return this evening for verses 8 through 11 of Psalm 46. You should have either on the Facebook, my Facebook page, or in your email, if you had that, both the sermon note-taking guide. And for this morning, as we normally do in the evening, but now also this morning, we have a fill-in-the-blanks sheet to perhaps aid our focus and attention this morning. So be listening for those particular words to find in that sentence in those fill-in-the-blanks. Especially this morning, though, beloved, we have, and most importantly before us now, the reading of and hearing of the Word of the living God, who does not change. And so Psalm 46, to the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah, a song for Alamoth. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. So, dear congregation, the word of the living God. But we need his help, and the help of his Spirit, especially now. And so let's come to him again this morning, and let's seek his help in prayer. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, what a wondrous, privileged blessing it is for your church to be together, at least electronically, digitally, to be able to hear your word, and in a moment to hear it preached. Our Father, we know that down through the ages and in various times in the history of the world, Christians have been unable to gather, and sometimes even unable to hear the word preached, and have longed for that word read to them and the sermon preached to them. And so, our Father, help us to be thankful. But grant us ears to hear by your Spirit. Grant that we will be filled with those good fruits that you have for us in the Scripture. This, the bread of life, the living water. And that we, being well cared for, would glorify you. Give us faith. Help us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, dear congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, these are incredible and unprecedented times. I don't know if you can hear it over the Facebook Live feed, but the echo I hear in the sanctuary right now, because you are at home, carefully, there, even though it's the Lord's Day, this echo, it is a shocking reality of what seems like a very bad dream. I know that all God's people do desire this to be over. I know that all God's people would much rather be together here or in your place of worship in God's house on the Lord's Day. This is what we would rather. But Covenant family, whether in here or there at home, God is our refuge and strength. And His grace for us is rich and full for such a time as this. Many of you have been making use of the daily devotionals on Psalm 46 since Monday. If we might say it, what a blessing that we could have been together, united, even that way. Now we are together this way. Not perfect, but the best we can do. More importantly, our God is on His throne. And we can say, all is well. In troubling times, we know by faith who our God is. In troubling times, we know by faith who our God is. You'll find this in the note-taking section that was provided for you. And so we need to think this morning about four particular things. When we think by faith rather than fear, we know these four things. First, that our God is the one who is with us. When we think by faith rather than fear, we know that, secondly, our God is the one of perfect power. When we think by faith rather than fear, we know that our God is the one who provides perfect safety. And fourthly, when we think by faith rather than fear, we know that our God is the one in complete control over this fallen world. In troubling times, we know by faith who our God is. So firstly then, when we think by faith rather than fear, and you're going to see that to be a constant strain through the word preached this morning, how we ourselves evaluate and assess and think and reflect on and look outward and understand this current reality, so that when we think by faith rather than fear, we know firstly that our God is the one who is with us. Now, beloved, this psalm may not be the best known in terms of, it may not be the best known in terms of the Emmanuel principle, God with us. There might be other psalms and certainly other sections of Scripture that we know more clearly about that Emmanuel principle, God with us. But it is such an important way that our God reveals His care for His own people, even in this psalm. That way of divine nearness. It is something we must understand. That is to say that we are not really helped by raw power. We're the strongest military in the world to come in and try to help us in this situation. We would say, well, that's not the kind of power that really I need. But we need rather a near, tender power. A fatherly strength is the kind of help we need right now. And so, covenant family, three times in the first seven verses, God says that He is with us, near to His people. This psalm gloriously previews the arrival of God in human likeness. Verse 1, He is a very present God. Verse 5, He is God in our midst. And verse 7, like verse 11, which we'll consider this evening, our God is the God of the armies who is with us. And, oh, church, this must be at all times, but especially in troubling times like we are in now, this must be our first thought. This must be our first confession. This must be our first source of help, to say that wherever we are, in whatever situation we find ourselves, in whatever trial we know ourselves to be overwhelmed about, that our God is near us. And He never abandons us. Well, the last week has been incredibly difficult, hasn't it? And at this moment, if we're honest, we have no good idea how long this isolation could last. And so we long for the courts of Zion, don't we? In a certain sense, the church, even around the world, is right now like Israel of old when they sat by the streams of Babylon in captivity, seeing only putrid fruit around them. So sullen and saddened were they that they could not sing the songs of Zion. We understand that in a little way. It's painful. Yet, church, God has not left you. He is near at hand. He is not the God far away. When we consider the words and the phrases and the truth of this psalm, we understand the significance of the crisis. It's real, as we're going to dig into in a moment, but we understand the significance first of His nearness. There's this terrible and wicked idea in this bad theological presentation of a God who is entirely away from humanity, who just kind of threw things together and just says to humans, now go and make the best of it you can, and I'll watch from a distance. That is not the God of Scripture. And it is not the God who is telling us in His Word that He is with us. The Lord did even enter into time and space in sending His Son to save us. And so we can trust that in the midst of these difficulties of our lives, God is never going to turn away from us. Covenant family, the God who is with us, the God who is with us for our safety, is also with us for our sanctification. He loves keeping us in this life, but for eternal life. And so how do we respond to this situation in terms of our growth in the faith? How do we respond in terms of the Lord's progression in our lives in regards to sanctification? How do we act now? These are very important questions. So secondly, when we think by faith rather than fear, we know that our God is the one of perfect power. Well, that's first, nearness. Withness. God is not out there somewhere, but rather He is in here, in our hearts and in our lives. But in what way in this psalm? Now we begin to make an important turn in understanding the psalm. Yes, God is with His people, always near to His people. But in what particular way in this psalm? Well, now we see it in terms of power. God is here in might and force and strength and unbreakable power for His people. This is how the psalmist begins it in verse 1. He is, verse 1, our, what is the language? Refuge and strength. That is to say, as we might characterize it in our English language, He is the God who is sufficient. God is more than enough. He has enough power. He has enough resource. He is able to defend us no matter the circumstances. And in this psalm, the circumstances are indeed exceedingly dire. And it is vital that we understand the catastrophe of our own day. It is vital that we understand the way the psalmist understands the catastrophe that can fall to humans. Notice the language used in the psalm. It's striking, isn't it? Our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble, therefore we will not fear. The question about what or in which circumstances, and the psalmist goes on, we will not fear even though the earth be removed. Beloved, that is a comprehensive, catastrophic statement. It is as if the entire created order had been undone, the earth itself decimated and destroyed. Now, we're going to dig into this a little bit more in our third point in a moment, but we need to understand God's nearness revealed in this psalm in terms of His power sufficient, more than able, to rescue His people. Covenant family, we are told by God that His power to deliver us, is more than sufficient to any catastrophe that comes in this fallen world. His power is invincible. The words refuge and strength in verse 1 moved Martin Luther to pen that so well-known hymn that we're going to sing in a little while, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, and shows to us, dearly beloved, that our God is enough. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we could ever ask or imagine. But here's the rub. Here's the challenge to our faith. There are people who honestly and earnestly believe this psalm. Christians who do not for a moment doubt these words, who will die in this plague. Christians. There have been believers down through the ages who have loved the Word of God, confessed it boldly, held to it tenaciously, come what may, who were delivered unto unbelievable tortures and death. Does that truth cancel out the truth the psalm presents, that God is powerful? No. In fact, beloved, it proves it. It proves it. That Christians down through the ages and suffering great catastrophes, and that in the reality of believers today, in the face of such great calamity, will not shrink back from professing this word and in holding to this scripture, proves the point of God's ability to save to the uttermost. And that means that when He brings a believer in whatever manner He chooses to out of this life, that believer will be with the Lord Jesus Christ in the next instant. To be away from the body is to be at home with the Lord. Now, beloved, it requires power to accomplish that. The power that only God has. The power that God had in sending His Son to accomplish so great a salvation, of a deliverance out of this life, with all that comes to us in this life, out of it and to be at home with the Lord in the very next instant. That, beloved, is the glorious power of God. Covenant family, God's power is perfect for this life and perfect in bringing us past death to endless life. Now, we are not looking to die anytime soon. We're not begging for that to come. But when that day does come for each of us, and it will for each of us, God is powerfully able to save, even then. So thirdly, when we think by faith, notice that we're doing this reasoning, reflecting on the scriptures, looking at our world. When we do that by faith rather than by fear, we understand, thirdly, our God is the one who provides perfect safety. Now, once we firmly grasp, are held by the reality of Scripture, of God's nearness, that He is right here with us, and understand His infinite power, it is then that we are in the right frame of mind to look at the chaos of this plague, to look at the reality of this upside-down world as we know it right now. All we need to do again is look at verse 2. We will not fear, therefore, even though the earth be removed, Now, of course, the psalmist goes on and he illustrates that removal of the earth in terms of the ways that it would look, the crushing of mountains, the chaos of the sea. And you begin to ask, well, isn't this the elegant book of creation? Isn't this how the Belgic Confession puts it in its second article, saying there are these two books? Well, the psalm says that these things are so chaotic and so unbelievable and in their decimation so comprehensive that it is almost as if the book of creation is crying out because of the destruction that has come. And beloved, we need to understand that this is the reality that people feel experientially. The psalmist is saying this is what it feels like sometimes as we live in this broken and fallen world of sin and in the destruction and the spread of sin. It can seem to be this way sometimes. And maybe you have experienced that personally or in your family. That the world can seem only to be all of destruction. Then what? Covenant family, there have been many times in the history of the world when Christians could have been deceived into thinking that God had lost His ability to keep us safe. It is a true experience that is to feel that way. But we know better by faith. Look at verses 1 through 3. And as you're looking at verses 1 through 3 of the psalm, I want you to count the number of times in our New King James rendering the word "though" occurs. How many times do you see the word "though" in those first three verses? Did you find four times? Now, why is that? Because, as the psalmist, this is what life feels like, seems like. We experientially struggle with the world presenting itself to us in these ways sometimes. But yet God is our refuge. Even though the earth be removed, He is our refuge. Though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, He is our refuge. Even though the waters roar and be troubled, He is our refuge. Though the mountains shake with their swelling, when all of that is going on, whether in our own hearts or in some real and practical ways, actually in the world itself, it does not change the reality. Which reality? God is with us. That He is a strong, unbreakable fortress and deliverer. You see, beloved, we must understand what it is we know by faith rather than what sometimes we experience in this life. Those two don't always match up. And when they are at odds, we live by faith, not by sight. The trial, challenge, and test, of course, is real. It's real. I suppose you have been in your family, in your gathered place of restriction at home. You've been talking with your loved ones, as we have been talking in our home in the last couple of days, to say, oh, what we didn't know a month ago. How we had no idea, no thought, of what life would be like in a couple of weeks. But you see, beloved, that too is told to us in the psalm. Not in hypotheticals, but in the reality of what our world is like. I would imagine, even if we can extend this out just a little bit further, let's say we were preaching Psalm 46 a month ago or a year ago. We would have thought about this chaos and this destruction that's presented to us in Psalm 46 a month ago or a year ago only in hypotheticals, wouldn't we? Or maybe we would have thought about it in terms of our shared memory of the history of what other Christians in other ages have had to go through. And we would have thought, well, Certainly when Christians were thrown into the lion's den and were tied to a stake and burned to death, that was certainly representative of the reality of Psalm 46, and we would have thought about those things. But today, certainly we understand these things differently, don't we? Certainly it must be the case that we say we understand the truth of this psalm in a way we could not have understood this a month ago. Isn't that interesting? How God's word is always true, yes. Always applicable, yes. But always applicable to the particulars of our own life and situation. To say, now I begin to understand this in an entirely different way than ever I did before. And to understand that in Jesus Christ, God is with us. God strong to save by the cross and the empty tomb. That these things that matter the most in times like we are enduring now are not all of the extras sometimes that we lump into our understanding of what brings comfort and peace and satisfaction to me and a sufficiency of understanding and experiencing life. All those other things you see can be torn away from us. We come down to the things that matter the most. Covenant family, the safety we need most, comes by given faith, which embraces Jesus Christ for salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And then, beloved, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. When the world is in chaos, or when our life is in personal upheaval, we find safety in our God. Fourth, then, when we think by faith rather than fear, we know that our God is the one in complete control over this fallen world. Verses 4 through 7 are the comfort we need. Our only comfort in life and in death is that we are not our own. How much does that matter now? Look, while it seems that the world is falling apart around us, God is, verse 4, do you see it? God is in the midst of His people. Presented for our comfort here in the psalm, like we would read it in Ezekiel chapter 47, of the waters of life, or as we will understand it and all believers experience it, as we're told in Revelation 22, of the river of life. The presentation of God with His people in such a way that our hearts are gladdened. We know all is well for us. Causing joy and peace in the midst of the severe trial that we are engaged in. And so His presence, because His presence is with His people, we see in verses 5, letters B and C, the second and third parts of verse 5, that like in a military way for power, God is able to come in and save and strengthen His church. It was the case in ancient days that battles were fought only after the sun had risen in the morning. And so all the troops would sit around in their camps and wait until the sun was out so they could engage with vision to see the enemy and attack appropriately. Well, here the psalmist says, you won't have to wait for God. He's going to be there right at the moment you need Him. And He is with His people as we need Him. He is there for us. Or like with the political trials of nation against nation, or political party against political party, or people one against the other, as we see it in verse 6. God is there to save and preserve His church. God speaks, the end of verse 6, and all is set right. Now I want you to remember that the end of verse 6, as we'll look at something this evening in verse 10 that's going to challenge even our Christian art, the things that we hang on our walls and our homes. We'll get to that tonight. But listen, beloved, when God speaks, all is set right. Covenant family, God's presence, power, and provision bring us the peace and safety promised to His people through Jesus Christ. We could honestly, actually sing now, as we are going to, "It is well with my soul." How is it well with our souls now? In this time, the Christian knows the answer. Are you also clear about the answer? How can you say that all is well with me now? Do you know the answer to that question? If it were put to you, how would you answer? We confidently, joyfully respond, "It's God. He is my refuge and my strength through Jesus Christ. He is in my midst. The Lord of hosts, the captain of the armies of heaven and of God, He is with us." Isn't it true, beloved? Isn't it true of us that we are not situational Christians? Isn't it true of us that our faith is not determined by external outward circumstances? These are the days in which we need to ask that question about our own walk with the Lord, about our own position in Christ. Is it the case that my faith is situationally determined, that my walk with God is directed by circumstances, that when things go really against me, it's then when I throw up my hands and I have to walk away? Oh, beloved, that is not the response of the Christian, is it? But actually just the opposite. It is indeed when those things come and I have no other way, no other resource, no other help, no other protection, that I know then more clearly than ever before that God in Jesus Christ is my help, my refuge. Covenant family, God's sovereign and loving control over all things, His loving and sovereign control over all things is unchangeable comfort to the Christian. We are not our own, but belong, body and soul, both in life and in death, to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, church, about the things we do not know, but this we do know: God is our refuge and our strength. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, how we praise You this morning for the wonderful blessing of hearing Your word, for the great encouragement and help to our faith of having it preached to us, even in difficult times, in imperfect situations, and in the midst of this trial. We thank You, Lord, that You have brought Your word, which indeed does sanctify us. It brings us from faith to faith, from glory to glory. We thank You that You've helped us this morning, that You will help us again this evening. Bless us onward as we sing this morning to Your glory, for the honor of Your name, and that You would be exalted. We pray, Lord, that You would keep us in Your care and mercy through these days. Help us to be lovers of the Word of God. We pray all this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you'll be turning to find Psalm 244. As you're doing that, I have an announcement I'm going to read in just a moment here, but we'll be at 244. Now, that announcement comes because this, after singing of this song, would be the normal time for our congregation to receive our offerings, tithes and offerings of God's people. They would be received after the singing of this song. Obviously, we're not able to do that today. So I have a letter to read, an announcement from the deacons of this church. As that applies to you, please take note of these things. As was noted in the letter from the Consistory and Council, the deacons have come up with a way for you to continue to give of your tithes and offerings while we are not able to meet together for worship. Your contributions are needed to support the continued ministry of our congregation. We ask that you please continue in your faithful giving to our church and other ministries we support, even while we are apart. You should have, congregation members, you should have received an email from the deacons. If you do not have that email or don't know that particular information to our congregation, please contact myself or any one of the council members. We will communicate that on to you so that you can have the particulars of how we can continue to honor the Lord with our tithes and offerings in this difficult